Back with you at 3:35 on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. We've got Cyclone Coaches Show coming up tonight for you. Iowa State football coming up on Saturday. Iowa State at home for the Whiteout. They unveiled their 23rd uniform combination today. It will be white at home with black lettering and a white helmet this weekend. And Iowa State will take on the Baylor Bears. And we've got it at 4 o'clock for you coming up. That will be on Saturday from Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. And a big thank you to our Cyclone sponsor, Lisa Nolan Realtor. Lisa Nolan Realty, football and men's and women's basketball. She is the Cardinal sponsor, and we thank her very much for that. We've got baseball. Then after that, we'll join up early in the ball game between the San Diego Padres and the Atlanta Braves, game one of that best of three. And speaking of baseball, it is the postseason, and our friend, former Major Leaguer Cal Eldred, joining us here on a Tuesday with one ear to us, one eye on one monitor, and the other eye on the other monitor. Right, Cal?
There ain't no doubt. There's just a lot going on. There's been a lot going on in the last 48 hours in Major League Baseball and sawn into a season that we haven't seen before.
Yeah. Well, let's start off with yesterday, because the unusual circumstance, having to play end of the season meaningful games in a doubleheader setting due to, unfortunately, Hurricane Helene with the Braves and the Mets, and then the Diamondbacks thrown in there hoping for a sweep, but hoping against hope, because I think there was probably a 95% probability that that was not going to be a sweep. You'd feel bad for them, but hey, they didn't play well down the stretch in the last week, and that's kind of the way it goes. But man, it was a heck of a doubleheader yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah, the craziness of how you look at it, and you see that Atlanta knowing in the back of their minds that day that Chris Sale's not going to be available going into a doubleheader and a must-win, got to win one of them. And then you see the Mets, who look like, oh, they're just can't get anything going, and then boom, they explode, take the lead, lose the lead, and then get the lead back and win that first game. The day before that, I was listening to Torrey Lovullo talking about how great both of those organizations are, that if the team that wins that first one is still going to compete in the second one. Well, the Mets did sort of compete in that second one. It was a close game, obviously, but to your point, Scott, there's close to 70 or more than 70% of doubleheaders in the major leagues are split anyhow. And in that situation, look, the Mets weren't going to use guys that they were feeling they're going to have to use today, because they already knew they were in. Atlanta wins it. Tough spot for the Diamondbacks, sitting there having to watch that all day long and then realize they're not getting on a plane and going anywhere. Their season's over.
Cal, before we get into the playoffs, I wanted to ask you about the end of the regular season from the standpoint of fans wanting to place blame in one spot or another. And my team is going through that, but other teams are as well. Some clubs are changing front offices, like San Francisco and St. Louis, for different reasons. Managers get let go. We'll see if players let go. Are players taking responsibility? It's probably a combination of things, but do you think it is that combination? Or, I mean, sometimes the players just don't get the job done on the field.
And, you're right, Mark, and it's interesting, because I know St. Louis pretty well, and lots of times the blame really goes to the coaching staff or the front office there, because they love their players. Yet St. Louis, they won 83 games. In 2006, they won 83 games and won a World Series. So they're not that far away, but it depends on the scenario. I think you go up to Minnesota and with your favorite club up there, and you think about it, the players just didn't get it done. I think Rocco Baldelli's a good manager. I think, some of the decisions they made did hurt them, and that was came from the front office and who they added for pitching. You know, you've mentioned that. And I think it depends on each scenario. You look down in Miami, Skip Schumacher's not going to be back there. And, you know, I know John Mabry, their hitting coach, really well. And he said, you know, we had, and Skip said this in an article too, that they had a great staff. The players played hard. They learned. They were very young. They traded, you know, Luis Arraez to San Diego, and he wins a batting title there. So that's a front office decision. But yet you're going to see coaches go there. You're going to see Skip Schumacher not back there. It is a combination. It depends on the situation. But when it comes down to it, the players have to be able to get it done. And to know, you have to be on the inside most of the time to know, are they not getting the help they need, or are they not listening, or are they just having bad years? And that's just the way it goes.
Of course, last night the news coming out, Cal, that the baseball world losing Pete Rose, and just concentrating on his on-field prowess right now. I mean, I said earlier in the show, he was my baseball idol growing up. I wore 14 for a reason, and it was because of Pete Rose. Didn't like what he did off the field, that's for sure. I think he is undervalued a little bit by what he did on the field. Certainly has been covered up by what happened in, off the field for Pete.
I completely agree. And, you know, Scott, I didn't know that about you, but I grew up a Cincinnati Reds fan. And so Johnny Bench was my favorite player, watching Tom Seaver and the Big Red Machine. And it was just that kind of that time. And they had such great teams. But Pete Rose really played the game the way it should be played. He hustled. He hit the ball the other way. He took advantage of times when to bunt. Was a real scrappy, hard-nosed player. And, yes, what he did on the field was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so it does hurt me a little bit to hear, you know, some of the things that are being said about him, and because not everybody's been a nice guy off the field, and most of us aren't as good as we think we are anyhow. And when we look in the mirror, and so you know what, Pete Rose was one of the best players ever in the history of baseball, and I think that's kind of where we need to leave it.
Were you ever on opposite sides when he was a manager?
I was not. No, I was not.
Okay.
And do you think he gets in posthumously in the Hall of Fame?
You know, because that rule is still so stated and so brought up, I don't think he will. And, you know, I know he should have known better. You know, I mean, that you should know better. It's, you know, you get too many speeding tickets, they take your license away. I mean, some of this stuff in life is common sense. And, you know, I think in my opinion, I don't think he will. And, you know, we see the same thing with the PED situation. There's people in there, you kind of know they probably did, but they were never caught. So it's a tough scenario, but really looking at it, like you said, Scott, he was a great player. Is the really bad off-field situation.
Cal, there's really no debate about the MVP and Cy Young in either league, is there?
No, I don't think so, Mark. I really don't. You know, what Judge has done, you look at his situation and how good Bobby Witt, you know, he'd love to see Bobby get it, but I think you got Judge, and, you know, I think the Cy Young is also something that's really tied up.
Well, Scooble didn't do anything to to dispute that today.
No.
They have lifted him, though, going into the bottom of the seventh inning. He has been lifted now for Detroit, so Houston's got a shot now. I kidding around with Spencer earlier on today and just going, man alive, how many more years? 8 more years we're going to have to face him in the American League Central, Mark?
I'm telling you, you know, with Scooble probably obviously getting it in the American League, Chris Sale probably going to get it in the National League, but there is an argument for Wheeler with Philadelphia without a doubt. And I know Philly fans will let everybody hear about it if Chris Sale's the choice. But, you know, in the National League with what Ohtani's done, you know, I think they're they're pretty sewn up, but there are some players in there that are deserving because their years were so good.
Let's look at the wild card games, Cal, and just your evaluation. Obviously, there's two games underway right now and two more to come, but your evaluations there, maybe predictions.
Well, I sent you guys my predictions. I thought I better get them in before I was cheating watching games. But and Scott can tell you, there are a couple things where I have hesitations. And you guys know I usually lean, I'm going towards the pitching. I'm taking the pitching. And the series that is hesitant for me, I think Baltimore is a great team. And if Kansas City can beat Corbin Burns, that's huge for them because I like their starting rotation with Reagans and Lugo and then Waka. But I also looked and I did take – the Tigers have the momentum, and that's the other one that gets me. But I do see Alvarez in that lineup. But Scooble being left-handed, that's a little bit harder on Tucker and Alvarez, who I think are probably their best bats right now. So – these two games going on right now, going to be close, but God, I give you the credit for sticking with Detroit for sure.
I texted you earlier today and said it was after, I think, the first inning or something like that. It was early, and I said, I'm going with the Detroit Tigers in this series. Scooble's going to win this game. It's 3-0 right now, I think, with two outs in the bottom of the seventh, something like that. Verlander not being with Houston, that was the final nail for me. I think they've had a great run. And not saying the Astros aren't going to be around next year. We'll see. Bregman's a free agent. They're going to have Altuve. They'll be okay. But Detroit, the way they played, they were the hottest team in the American League coming down the stretch. I'd like them to win this first round. I love the Kansas City-Baltimore series. I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun. It's scoreless right now through three innings there. And I just think that I like the way Baltimore just a tick was playing a little bit better down the stretch. So I'm going to go with Baltimore as far as that series is concerned. I will give you my National League ones right now. Padres are going to get the Braves. I think Milwaukee's going to go three, but they're going to edge out the Mets right there. What about you guys?
I'm with you on Milwaukee and San Diego. I think Kansas City, Baltimore is really a toss-up. Cal made a great point. If they get to Burns today, that could be huge. I mean, best of three series. Look what Detroit's doing. They're going to go one up, probably. Barring something like it happened in the first game of that doubleheader yesterday. But those are my wild card picks anyway, I think.
I think we're all – I agree with the National League too, Mark. The thing is that the Mets have been playing really well. Since the end of May, they're on a 100-win pace. You know, they're 60-something and 39. And so you're looking at it like, wow. You know, you think, well, they're a New York team. We should all know that. They have been playing well, but Milwaukee just keeps winning games, and they're just a good club. So I have Milwaukee coming out of that and San Diego coming out of that one too, just like you guys.
Yeah, and but then it gets a little diluted. Although, Cal, you and I both have the San Diego Padres beating the Los Angeles Dodgers.
and you know, that's where I'm leaning on the pitching. I think yep. San Diego's pitching is that good. And if you do not let Ohtani hurt you, and if the other bats in that lineup hurt you, they hurt you. That's just the way it is. You cannot let that guy hurt you. And I think San Diego, plus they have the experience of playing the Dodgers, they can change their game plan. They can do, or if something's working, stick with it. But I like San Diego's bullpen. I think their starting pitching's pretty good. So, man, they've got a lot of pitching. So that's why I did that.
Well, I've got San Diego winning it all because of the pitching. They got four frontline starters that are pretty solid and a really pretty good lineup. And I got the Padres beating the Yankees in the World Series, but I think it's really close. In the National League, I can see the Dodgers prevailing if they get any semblance of pitching at all. Got a formidable lineup. And don't sleep on Cleveland, because I think Jose Ramirez has had a heck of a year, nearly a 40-40. It's a good lineup. And if Cleveland starters can get into the Cleveland bullpen, it's the best bullpen in baseball. So don't sleep on Cleveland either. But I have the Padres over the Yankees.
I've got Cal and I both have the same World Series, although I've got the Yankees winning it over Philadelphia. Cal, you got the Philadelphia Phillies winning it.
I do, and I guess I'm with Mark, though, too. It's the Yankees are going to have to work to beat Cleveland, because Cleveland is a very good club. Cleveland, and if Kwan's healthy, Kwan can play. That's going to help them a lot. But the big issue with them is exactly what Mark said. Watching Jose Ramirez play, I'll pay to watch that guy play. He plays so hard. He's their best player, and he plays harder than anybody on that club. So what a leader. And Mark's exactly right. That starting pitching can keep them close enough that they can get that to the bullpen. Class A is going to finish it for them. But I think San Diego's really – the San Diego-Philadelphia series could be something, because Philadelphia's been there, done that. They still have that feel, that momentum that they want to accomplish more in the postseason. And they've got veteran pitching and veteran position players who've been there, done that. And I think that that's been their focus all year long.
What scares me about the Padres is the last time they beat the Dodgers, that was it. They checked out after that. Yep. That was they slayed the giant, and then they laid an egg in the National League Championship Series. And I think they learned from it, but I think Philadelphia, I think it's going to be a great series. I have Detroit beating Cleveland, by the way, guys.
you're counting on the momentum, but you know what, though? Cleveland and Detroit have played very good ball games in this regular season. So it's been the Cleveland experience that's helped them. But if you really peruse the roster for the Detroit Tigers, they have a lot of different players than they had in the last 3 years, especially the last 2 years. They've really picked up guys that have filled in the gaps and are better overall. And having Parker Meadows in center field, a big deal for them. Rodgers, with him catching and contributing with the bat, has helped them a lot. But they're just a balanced team, and their young pitching has been really, really good.
Yeah.
Having said all that, it'll probably be an all Eldred series, Kansas City and Milwaukee.
I guess I can't lose on that one, so I couldn't complain about that. But it would you know, that watching and working with so many of the young kids there and seeing some of them mature, obviously in roles. Some of them are in roles now that they need to be. Some of those kids were young. We didn't have much, really much depth, and they were forced into roles that they weren't ready for. I'm thinking about a Chris Bubich in the bullpen. Brady Singer, always been a good starting pitcher. But those guys are complementary pieces to the better pitchers that they have now. And that's the difference. Your young players, like your Massey and Bobby Witt, and hopefully Pasquantino can get there. They're in there with Salvador leading them, and they've had their bumps and bruises, and now it's time for them to prove that they belong.
We will enjoy the baseball, and we'll also talk next week. Cal, looking forward to it, and I know we'll all enjoy it, and should be a good one.
You bet. Enjoy the ball games. Don't overdo it on the popcorn, but keep the eyes open. Lots of baseball to watch.
Lots of baseball indeed. All right. Enjoy it, Cal. We'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You bet. 3:55. We need to take a quick break, come back, and wrap it up after this.